We are continuing this four-part series on reconciliation in our summer live stream services. And as I worked with this week's theme, reconciliation with ourselves, the pacing of the series struck me as interesting and important. If I say to us as Anabaptists that reconciliation is the center of our work, we might first think outwardly about that. We think about the peacemaking work that is needed in the world, the conflicts that need addressing, the relationships that need mending and reimagining. To reconcile means to bring something back together. I mentioned last time that this phrase comes from Pastor Palmer Becker, his answer to the question, "What is an Anabaptist Christian?" And he sums it up, "Jesus is the center of our faith, community is the center of our lives, and reconciliation is the center of our work." And this way of saying things, Becker says, is an adaptation of the three points of the Anabaptist vision laid out in 1943 by Harold S. Bender, to give you a little history. And that vision has been very formational to 20th century Mennonites' understandings of ourselves. Reconciliation is the center of our work is a mirror to Bender's point that followers of Jesus follow an ethic of love and non-resistance. That's our peace church flag, our pacifist identity. We are people of God's peace. So again, I find the pacing of this series interesting and important because we do not immediately jump to what needs reconciling out there, who or what needs bringing back together. This series causes us to slow down, especially since we're spreading it through July and August. We started 2 weeks ago with the theme reconciliation with God and the gift of love and forgiveness that God is waiting and even rushing to lavish on us as soon as we turn our face toward home. And today's theme is still not out there with anyone else. It's reconciliation with ourselves. Today we're being reminded, as we so often need to be, that we need to be willing to do our own work first, before we can help reconciliation with others to be more fruitful and transformative. When we bring the pieces of ourselves back together, we bring our own greater wholeness to any other work of reconciliation. Zacchaeus, like any of us, had some potentially divided parts about himself. His job as a tax collector was to collect Roman tariffs on transported goods. Just his connection to Roman tariffs could have made him unpopular to the first century Jews living under occupation. But many tax collectors of that time and place also doubled down on their reputation through overcharging their neighbors. So somehow Zacchaeus has to reconcile these parts of his identity, a Jewish man who makes a living by virtue of the activities of the Roman Empire. Similar balancing acts happen today. In fact, for us, they're probably often even messier because everything is so interconnected in our world. I had a friend more than 15 years ago who was wrestling with whether to take a computer engineering job with a firm that, as one of their many activities, made training simulation software for the US military. My friend didn't know if he could do this job if it was connected to that work. It's not even always that stark, though. Last Sunday, Bill led us in some meaningful reflections on the holy discontent we can experience even within faith-based settings. The discernment around what we do and what we believe and what we're part of can be an act of reconciliation with ourselves. You may have always assumed differently when you read this story, but we don't have any evidence that Zacchaeus was someone who was cheating people. After the people started grumbling about Jesus eating at his table, Zacchaeus offered, "If I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." If he had been defrauding everyone, that seems an impossible claim. It surprised me this week to read commentaries that pointed out that we don't even know whether Zacchaeus's statements of commitment, which include, "Half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor," whether they're a future commitment or whether the verb translates into meaning they're actually a description of his present action. Does that change how we read the story? Zacchaeus doesn't confess sin when he speaks. Is he on the margins because of his actions or because of the community's exclusion of him or some messy place in the middle as the power of empire has the power to create? Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but he wasn't going to muscle his way to the inside of the crowd and introduce himself. Instead, he did this childlike thing that surely wasn't going to improve his reputation with his neighbors, but was he got to lose, he ran and climbed a tree. And Jesus, who is always looking past the inner circle, no matter how crowded it is around him, looking all the way to the margins, says, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." This is the moment, I think. That moment up in the tree is where I see the reconciliation moment. Up in the tree, Zacchaeus is holding himself apart from his neighbors, apart from Jesus, apart from his own sense of being called to be a part of whatever Jesus is doing. He has been made to be a part, and he has made himself a part. Reconciliation is bringing something back together. That moment in the tree is when Zacchaeus could see himself as Jesus saw him, someone worthy of notice, someone capable of hospitality, someone ready with generosity. And Zacchaeus came down and came back to himself, worthy, hospitable, generous, a son of Abraham. Jesus calls him this, though it had never stopped being true. Whether Jesus is reminding Zacchaeus or the grumbling crowd, he is also bringing Zac back to himself, to his identity, to his place in this community. Today, salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. When I thought about the idea of reconciliation with ourselves this week, my mind went to Brené Brown and her research on shame and vulnerability. I think her work really encourages us to put the pieces of ourselves back together, to be reconciled within ourselves. In her Netflix special, The Call to Courage, she talks about how we're so afraid to let ourselves be seen, of having the courage to show up when we can't control the outcome. And I lost my place, but that vulnerability of letting ourselves be seen, of having that courage to show up when we can't control the outcome, that's the only path back to each other. She says, how can you let yourself be loved if you can't let yourself be seen? Zacchaeus put himself up where he could be seen by Jesus. And when he came down from that tree, it took courage to be seen by the crowds, to be seen by his grumbling neighbors, to be seen as he hosted Jesus, to accept that he had already been truly seen by Jesus. We don't know what happened next with his relationships to the folks who didn't seem ready to trust him. He didn't come down from the tree with a certain path forward. But as Brené says, he chose courage over comfort. Zacchaeus chose to see himself the way Jesus already saw him. And as he brought the pieces of himself back together, that wholeness led him to declaring his practice of economic justice. A quote from Madeleine L'Engle also popped up for me this week. She wrote, "We have to be braver than we think we can be, because God is constantly calling us to be more than we are, to see through the plastic sham to living, breathing reality, and to break down our defenses of self-protection in order to be free to receive and to give love." Doing our own work of reconciliation with ourselves is a work of courage, braver than we think we can be. It is a work that begins with seeing ourselves as Jesus sees us. Jesus sees through the trees that we use to keep apart and keep from getting hurt. He sees into the gifts we have to offer the world. And Jesus sees a child worthy of being saved. Try praying with these questions this week. And you can rewind this tape and play them again when you forget them. The questions are, Jesus, what do you see when you see me? Jesus, what gifts are you calling me to live into? Jesus, what are the pieces within me that you are longing to bring back together? I'm going to say those questions all again, and this time, pray them with me to close. Jesus, what do you see when you see me? Jesus, what gifts are you calling me to live into? Jesus, what are the pieces within me that you are longing to bring back together? Amen.